Father, we're thankful tonight. We really enjoy getting together and having the opportunity to study the Word of God. It's a pleasure. Father, it's also life-changing. As rarely a time that I come to the Bible and read or study that you don't show me something, and certainly the same way when men are preaching, that needs to change in my life. And Father, we're thankful for that, that you keep us on the potter's wheel and keep working that clay, keep fashioning it more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray you'll not take your hands off, but you'll keep accomplishing those things that only you can do with your hands and with this clay. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, turn to your Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, one of the great concerns that I have in my own life, I'm talking about my life personally, is that I'm not sowing enough of the seed of the Word of God. That's a personal concern. It's also a concern that I have for us as a church. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. If you look at that, passage, and of course I emphasized a couple of words, the sowing of the Word of God is going to result in reaping. Shall reap. Both times he says that. Whether the sower sows sparingly or whether the sower sows bountifully, in either case, they're going to reap. And that has to do with what you're sowing. You know, we talked about it on Sunday in the Sunday school class, but in Isaiah chapter 55, the Word of God does not return void. When it's sown, it is going to accomplish the thing that the Lord pleases. That's the very nature of the Word of God. It's just the way that it is. And so when he says here, you know, when you look at this, you can honestly see there are some that don't sow at all. If you don't sow at all, you can say by implication, he's not going to reap at all. But if he sows sparingly, he's going to reap, but he's going to reap sparingly. If he sows bountifully, he's going to reap, but he's going to reap bountifully. You know, my concern is, in my own life, my concern for the church is that we could be sowing more than we're sowing. I was thinking if I had the opportunity, after reading Isaiah 55 in Sunday school, if I had the opportunity to preach on Sunday night when Brother Homan was here, I would have preached on sowing. Amazingly, he gets up and he preaches on being ambassadors, and he preaches on sowing the Word of God, and gave some illustration to that very thing. I'm very thankful that when he was here and preached about the go ambassadors and the co ambassadors and then the no ambassadors, that he wasn't a missionary of the typical persuasion who is a po ambassador that comes in and sings whoa ambassador. He only had 3 points to his sermon. So we didn't get to all that other stuff. But anyway, you know, I appreciated what he had to say because in fact, every single person here within the sound of my voice comes into contact with people where the Word of God can be sown and should be sown. Now, it doesn't have to always be sown in the fat form of a tract. You know some people well enough that you can visit with them on a regular basis. I mean, just the testimonies that we've heard recently, the one about Zach, the one about Miranda. This is somebody who's been involved under the sowing of the seed of the Word of God for years, but it finally brought forth a harvestable soul. And so you don't really know in those friendships that you have to the extent that you have to wait on that particular sowing to manifest itself in a harvest that can be reaped, but you do understand definitely that we have that opportunity. We also have that responsibility. My concern is I don't want to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and find that he expected me to sow more than I did and didn't sow bountifully. That's not a good scenario. You know, I don't want to get into that scenario and say, well, you know, how are you going to overcome that? And we've talked a lot about things. You know how your normal life is. You get up. If your morning is devotions and your daytime is labor and your nighttime is family and your sleep and get ready, you think, well, where in the world do I have time to sow the Word of God? And I really believe sincerely that we all come in contact with people on a regular basis. And it's in those opportunities, sensitive to the leadership of the Spirit of God, that we can be used by the Lord to say something on behalf of the Lord that would bring a person to Christ. And you know, if you remember back, there was a doctor that I've talked about with you before, a guy named Dr. Walter Wilson. He prayed diligently for the opportunities to sow. And the interesting thing is that in the conversation that he would have with people, they would say something that set up a natural opening to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to a stationery store one time, and he said he was looking for something, and a particular kind of book, leather bound, that had blank pages where he could write his own notes. And the stationer said, "You mean something like a journal, something for a journal?" And he said, "Yes, something exactly like that." He said, "And are you going to use it for journaling?" He said, "No, I'm not going to use it for journaling. I'm going to use it for prayer requests." And the guy said, "Interesting, you pray?" He said, "Yeah, I do pray." He said, "You know, I've been thinking about praying, but I don't know the first thing about approaching God in prayer. Now, do you think there's any way you could go from there?" You know, honestly, you could, but what happened is he went out every day ready to sow. I can honestly say I don't think I go out every day ready to sow. You know, I hate to admit that, but it's the truth. And unless we are, we're not going to recognize that our principal occupation, one of our principal occupations, excuse me, in our relationship with the Lord is to be ready to be used by the Spirit of God to communicate the Word of God to somebody else so that the Word can be planted and God can do something with it. Now, we do some of that on purpose. Obviously, when we go out to the port and distribute Bibles, they had a great day yesterday, and give these out to the men that are on there. That's very purposeful. When we go out on Tuesday night and we knock on doors and pass out Bibles, going out very purposefully. Fred gets on his bicycle, goes around, distributes Bibles. You know, that's a very purposeful thing. But I think we run into a lot of people and run over a lot of people with the gospel. And I don't mean in the way of hurting them. I mean bypassing them. Bypassing them. Because we're just not right on top of that. And so tonight what I want to do is just look at a few more verses to encourage us. But do get this. If you will sow, you will reap. If the scripture is so about what it says here, whether you sow bountifully or you sow sparingly, if you sow, there will be a reaping. Now the thing is, you yourself may not have the opportunity to reap it. Turn to John chapter 4. You may just be doing the work, getting it ready for somebody else, and oftentimes that's the case. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus Christ has been visiting with the woman at the well. Disciples showed up with supper, and he hadn't had anything to eat yet. He says to them in verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." I like that. My biggest accomplishment was to try to finish my work. And our objective is to finish his work first. 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Do you see that? Here, those occupations are separated. And the Lord's telling his disciples in verse 36, "You're going to reap and receive wages and gather fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth," somebody had been in the field before them, "and he that reapeth," that's you now going, "may rejoice together. Herein is that saying, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." That is a continual operation, I believe, all the way until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's incumbent upon us to sow for two reasons. Because when you go out ready to sow, you may find that you've entered into a field that's white under harvest that needs to be reaped. You also will be planting something on behalf of another person who can come behind you and reap where you've sown. You know, in dealing with people over the years in the ministry, people that are lost and talking to them about salvation, I don't think I've ever had the opportunity to talk to somebody and speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ the very first time they ever heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody, I think, that I've ever dealt with, certainly here in the United States of America, if they received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, there'd been a lot of sowing of the seed of the Word of God before I got there. And you understand that reaping is not the man's work. God needs or uses us to do that work. It's not a Calvinistic type thing. He uses us to do that kind of work. We understand it's the Spirit of God and the Word of God that brings them to Christ. But nevertheless, you know, it takes a man in the harvest, or it takes a woman in the harvest to get something done. And so if that's true, that there's been a lengthy period of time of sowing before you get there to see a soul saved, then by all means we need to keep sowing for the sake of somebody else that comes in behind us to reap. I take a great deal, I like fishers of men. We're going to do it again next Tuesday, so not quite a week from today. We're going to go out again and meet over there at 6 o'clock. And listen, if you have come before and haven't come lately, or if you have been coming, keep coming. And I'll tell you why. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. You get more laborers into the harvest, then you're going to have more seed that can be sown. It's an amazing thing. I don't remember which missionary I was talking to. You know, they come in fairly frequently so that sometimes you just get one overlapping on the other. But I was talking to the missionary. He said, you know the amazing thing? I'd be out visiting with people and they'll say, yeah, I'm going to such and such a Baptist church here in Tennessee. I'd say, that's great. Tell me what happened. Give me your testimony. He said, oh, it was the greatest thing. He said, I was out on the street and I heard you guys preaching on the street. I recognize you. And y'all were passing out tracts and I got a hold of that tract, began to read that thing and realized, man, I need to go to church. And so I started going to that Baptist church. He said, well, why didn't you come to the Baptist church that's listed on the track? Oh, I don't know. I just started going over to that Baptist church, and that preacher preached the gospel, and I got saved. You know what that was? That was sowing and another man reaping. Now, that missionary can't write home and say, well, we got another soul saved, another person coming to church, because he ended up at another guy's church. He wrote home about it. But what difference does it make, really? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, whether you are on the reaping side or the watering side or the sowing side, as long as you're working for the Lord in the harvest, what difference does it make? It really doesn't, according to Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there was division in the church over Apollos and Peter and Paul. Well, look in verse 6. I have planted, Paul says, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Again, it is His, eventually it is His work. It's His Word, His Spirit, it's God Almighty that brings them to Christ. So he says in verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. God is something in this, not us. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are two different people doing different kinds of work for two different credits. Is that what it said? No, they're one. They're one. He says here, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Why? They're working in the same heart. They're working in the same harvest. Their work is for the same soul. They're all under the same God. And it's with the same word. So he says, he that planteth, he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry, you're God's building. That's an amazing thing. That basically will go on to show you that no matter what part of this you have, whether like we used to do, passing out Bibles at the Junior Livestock Show, passing out a tract when you go shopping, telling somebody else, preaching on a radio, preaching behind a pulpit, preaching as a chaplain at a motorcycle race, it really doesn't make any difference where you get the work done. Get the work done and let God do something with His Word. That's really all He needs. Maybe, you know, one guy, I've told you about him before, he lived in Tennessee and he kept hearing a preacher go on about witnessing and soul winning, like to a certain degree that we're talking tonight, and he got under all kind of conviction about that, and he said, man, I got to do something. But you know what his problem was? He was embarrassed to talk to people. I mean, flat embarrassed. And as I told you, he would go to the liquor stores out behind the bars and things, and he would collect wine bottles, and he would soak them, clean the labels off and all that kind of stuff, clean out the contents, dry them out, put tracts inside with return information on his deal, cork them up, throw them in the Mississippi River. And after 15 years, there were like 1,500 of those tracts that had been returned to him. Many of those folks had gotten saved, and they were from 48 different countries. God just stuck them out there in the water and said, you know what, I need that to go over here. And Believe that? All he needed was a man to stick that bottle with a tract in the river, and God could take it from there. Doesn't the Bible say something about casting your bread on the waters and you'll receive it after many days? You know, it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be embarrassing. It doesn't have to be confrontational. You just got to be there. You just have to be available. You know, it was a great pleasure yesterday. Let's see, the day before yesterday, Carl Yost sits here normally, had aneurysm surgery. And if you're old, you know what that is. And if you're not very old, you know what that is. You go look it up. Y'all Google when the service is over and figure it out. That's not a good thing. Okay? It's deadly, eventually. And so I went up there to visited with him here at church before. Went up to pray with him before the surgery. Went up the next day and visited with him. Had a good visit. And he says, you know, he said with a big smile on his face, because he's saved now. He said, you know, it's good to know where you're going when you go through something like this. Amen. And he said, all I ask God is just to be with me during the surgery. And he was. And he was. Let me tell you something. He'll be 76 years old this month. He didn't get saved till he's 75 years old. And we got to talking about the Bible the other day, and I mentioned this to you, and he's got his dad's Bible, which is well worn. You know, there was seed planted early in that man's life. And then by being out with fishers of men, a Bible went to Bill and D. Ingram. They took a Bible over to Carl. Carl came over here after about 6 months of hearing preaching. Called me one day. We arranged a visit at his house. He had written a beautiful prayer to the Lord. And the end of that prayer was, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. And that day I said, well, you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to get saved. He said, then that's what I'm going to do. And right there, in his own words, he bowed and received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then I just told you this, and a few weeks later got baptized. Didn't know that there was a time ticking. And then was able to go through that surgery with a great deal of assurance and peace. I'm saved. You know, what if we hadn't been out sowing that seed? What if Bill and Dee hadn't involved themselves in another man's life in enough of a relationship to say, here, by the way, you may want this. What if everybody that was in church just decided, hey, it's all about us. Let's just go to church. Let's don't worry about that. What would happen? Well, the sowing of the seed of the Word of God would cease, and the reaping would cease, and you see the effect? Will, you're a farmer. You've planted all kind of things. I say a farmer. It's in your blood, even though you're going to go back to engineering. But if you don't put very much seed out in that field, you don't get very much crop, do you? No? It's a very true saying. It's a very true saying. Now look, here's something that concerns us sometimes. Go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Here's something that concerns us. Luke chapter 19, we'll wrap it up in this particular verse of Scripture. All right, in Luke chapter 19, you're reading a parable here about pounds. And you're familiar with it, but let's read through it, okay? Verse 12, Luke chapter 19, verse 12, he said, therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That's Jesus. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, so everybody had the same start, and said unto them, occupy till I come. Has he come yet? No, then we still need to be doing what? Occupying. You say, what does that mean? Well, what's your occupation? You see? All right, verse 14, his citizens hated him. That's like lost people, sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. There's plenty of those today. Verse 15, it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, and the Lord will soon, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. So each man was rewarded according, as the Bible says, to his own labor. One gained 10, he ruled over 10 cities, and the other gained 5 and ruled over 5 cities. Then he said, in verse 20, another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, and takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou What kind of servant is he? Yeah, just let that soak in a while. Thou wicked servant, thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou that my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have received mine own, or required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. They said, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. But I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath not shall be taken away. Or even that he hath shall be taken away from him. And then those mine enemies which were not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Lost people. So you have this situation where not only does the guy that did the 10 pounds worth of labor get the 10 cities of authority, but he says, you know what? Give him that pound that that guy didn't use. He said, well, he's already got 10. Yeah. But unto him that hath shall the more be given. That unto everyone which hath shall be given. Now, what do you make of that? What do you make of that? I don't want to stand to you before the Lord and have him say to me, thou wicked servant, you love the Lord. You're here on Wednesday night. You pray. But he doesn't want us to lay it up. He wants us to put it out, to use it, to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, to sow and allow him to reap and let him be in charge of that. And if you happen upon one that needs to be reaped, for his sake, bring, you know, lead that soul to Christ. If not, sow the seed of the Word of God. I think there's a lot of unsown territory, and it concerns me. It concerns me for our church. Let me ask you something. As far as pounds are concerned, you know, each one of these guys received a pound, right? Let me ask you a question. In the economy of things, as far as the Lord's provisions are concerned, would you say that we at least got our pound? Do you understand what I'm saying? Consider these provisions around here. This property is paid for, this building is paid for, that building is paid for. Your cars, a lot of you, they're paid for. You got a good job, you got health. Has the Lord been good to you? Has he not given ample provision? Boy, he really has. He really has. Let's don't leave what he's given to us in a napkin. Us don't do that. And let's not be satisfied if we've done five with five. If you've got 10 in you. You know? Because he said, quitting time is when I come. Not when you don't feel like doing this anymore. Occupy till when? I come, not till when the whistle blows or you say or Bonanza comes on TV. We need to be concerned for this. Let me close with this little illustration. Years ago, I was involved in a type of soul winning that I believe has resulted in a lot of professions like we've seen corrected here recently with Miranda's testimony, Zach's testimony, what I'd call pull the trigger quick type things. Just get them to pray a prayer. Many of you are nodding your heads. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Just get them to pray this prayer and go home satisfied that they got saved. You know, people get saved that call upon the name of the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. But he said that if thou shalt believe in thine heart, okay, and see, also confess with thy mouth. And you can get some people to confess with their mouth who are not doing that. So I look back on some of the sowing of the seed of the Word of God back in those days, and I'm thinking, I wonder if any of those people who prayed got saved. Kind of scares you sometimes. And then I was down at the ranch last year, and Sylvia came up to me, and she said she was having a little bit of difficulty with a family member. And wanted to know if I had any literature, anything, another Bible, anything that we could give. And that was one of those where we'd been down at the ranch and I got real concerned about Sylvia and Dora and Noe and Johnny and them. And so what I did is I just went to every one of their houses after Ann left and I said, now sit down here, I got a witness to you. I got a Bible open and I witnessed to him and I said, okay, now if you're ready to receive Christ, just bow your head and pray. And I gave them all Bibles. I came home and said, woohoo, got that all done. And Sylvia, and so then afterwards, I'm thinking, wow, that was a whole lot of me and very little of God, you know, and I don't know if any of that took. And so Sylvia said to me, and she said, "Do you have a Bible or something like that?" I said, "Yeah." And she goes, and I said, "Well, but Sylvia, something like, well, why are you concerned about this being the way?" She said, "Well, don't you remember when you came to my house that time and you sat us all down and you preached the gospel to us like that and asked us to get saved?" Well, she said, "I got saved and I know that he needs Jesus to help him just like he's helping me." And I'm like, oh, wow. Even when you do it goofy, it's his word. I didn't mean anything by it. I just wanted to sow the seed of the word of God, and that's the best I knew to do at the time. But may I tell you something? Even then, God blesses his word. It really does. Let's be faithful to do that. Let's be faithful to do that. He said, "Well done, thou faithful servant." Let's be faithful to sow the seed of the word of God and give God a chance to have more increase before Jesus comes. Amen? Amen. Father, we're thankful tonight for the opportunity to open the scripture and look at these things. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to be faithful. You, Lord, Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have a number of excuses that we use from time to time. Too busy, don't know what to say, all those kind of things. Father, we don't really want to excuse ourselves now and try to face you at a judgment like that fellow that hid it in a napkin. We just want to come to you and tell you, Father, we know there's a field in which to work, and we pray that you will give us a good opportunity, good wisdom, and good filling of the Spirit of God to work that field properly. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.